meet your little friends, and I might drive you around the bend. But I'm sure it's crazy kids to work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
I actually just have in my intro section of my notes, I've just written the word stoppered.
Stoppered. Should that be our podcast?
Stop. Stop for stoppered.
We can workshop the name. I think calling it just like stoppered. It's kind of commanding, okay. Right? And we'll just talk about Tom Stoppard plays and movies.
Yeah,
I would like he's a filmstress too, not just a playstress.
He's a filmstress as well. Yeah. Normally I don't have anything, but normally we shoot the shit. We talk about ourselves. We talk about our lives, whatever.
Yeah. Your sons have sort of, it's like the scene in Event Horizon where they like, the ship sort of gets taken over.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everyone is like all like torn up and...
They're putting like spikes through their own eyes and shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what's going on in your family right now?
Literally, that's what happened, folks. We had to start recording about 30 minutes later because we had a full-on bedtime meltdown, and I'm not talking about Cyril. I mean, yes, he did, but the real meltdown was me.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. But everybody's in bed now.
Smooth sailing. Mama's gone this weekend. It's just the boys. Over it's there. The boy zone.
It's the boy zone. Yeah, that's nice.
Here in Connecticut.
But we're not. We can't talk about dad stuff. We must talk about
Tom Stoppard. Well, about what? Tom Stoppard.
Tom
right.
Stoppard. Here's the thing. Well, so you, I'll say what happened. Because I didn't realize you'd never seen this. You were like, we had decided we were going to do some movie, and then we decided that we didn't want to do it. And then you were like, what about Shakespeare in Love? And I was like, yeah, fuck yeah. And then you texted me this morning, and you were like, wait, this movie is incredible. And it's like, yeah, dog, it's like one of the best movies.
Yeah. My previous experience with this movie, Shakespeare in Love, was I'd never seen it, but I was obviously somewhat aware of the like cultural phenomenon at the time.
Yeah.
But I was 14. Like, what's a 14-year-old boy going to do with like a romantic comedy based on the life of Shakespeare?
That's literally perfect. I would have fucking lived for that at 14.
But something else that came out in 1998 is my meme of the week.
Okay, perfect.
And it was sort of an early internet video that made the rounds through people's emails, I think. And it was called George Lucas in Love. And it was a parody of Shakespeare in Love, but it was about George Lucas.
And what, was he in love with like Jar Jar Binks or something?
No, I think a woman, but I don't really remember. It was a long time ago.
Yeah, okay, interesting.
And I remember that very vividly, and I not very vividly, because I would have been able to answer your question.
No, but... it doesn't sound like it was very vivid at all. I remember that through a glass darkly would be a better way of saying that, I think.
Yeah. So that's, and I had very positive associations with that, so I was just like, I've never seen Shakespeare in Love, but I hear it's good.
It's great.
And I took Shakespeare for non-English majors in college.
Yeah, perfect.
And that was great. We read a lot of Shakespeare plays.
Is Shakespeare for English majors the same thing, but just like kind of snottier?
I think Shakespeare for English majors might be just like a required, like a core credit for them.
You just got to do it. I did a bunch. Yeah. But we're both Stoppard heads a little bit.
Yeah, well, we're not here to talk about Shakespeare. We're here to talk about Stoppard.
So I've always said of this film that it's a Stoppard. So I'm a big fan of his work, and I've seen a number of his plays.
Me too.
I've read all of his plays, I think. But my rhetoric on this film was that it's a Tom Stoppard screenplay, but I looked it up this afternoon just to confirm that's true.
Sorry to interrupt. I'm on Tom Stoppard's Wikipedia page because I certainly haven't seen all of Tom Stoppard's plays or movies, but I wanted to see how many I have seen. He wrote Jumper.
Yeah, everyone knows that. Oh, Jumper, with Hayden Christensen.
Hayden Christensen.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And Jamie Bell.
Yeah, it's the sci-fi based epic. On his play, Jumpers, which has nothing to do with it. Yeah.
Incredible. What a talent.
I think this is Wikipedia research, so apologies to everyone, but I think what actually happened is there's a guy, I can't remember his name, but there's a guy who wrote this. And it was like his big idea. It's not Tom Stoppard. A guy wrote this. Some guy. Do we need to give him a name? Do you want me to give him a name? Please don't look it up. I'll just give him a name. It's Billy Zane.
Oh, from The Mummy?
No, it's just the name I've given him. Oh. Shall I try a different name?
That's going to be too distracting. Yeah.
Okay, let's work on it together. What's a good boy's name? I had so much trouble coming up with good boy's names for my boys. Okay, he's showing me Kirby. Okay, Kirby Puckett. No, that's a baseball player. Yeah. Okay, give me a last name.
How do you say Warhammer in Italian?
Something Di Guerra. What about Di Guerra? That's fine.
All right.
Something
okay. Di Guerra. Kirby Di Guerra.
Kirby Di Guerra wrote this, and
that's good.
It was his thing. Like, he had this idea, and he wrote it, and then he finally got it greenlit, and the producer was like, this fucking sucks. You have to have someone else rewrite your thing. And then what the about legendary Tom Stoppard? Because he did Rosencrantz and Guildenstern. Yeah.
Stoppard came in and did it?
Yeah.
Well, and he did a hell of a job. It was a masterpiece. Yeah. I loved it.
The rules. Let's say about it, it's Shakespeare in Love. It's about Shakespeare. That's what we're talking about today. Shakespeare in Love.
Oh, he's
it's
so
romance.
Handsome.
Yeah, it's Ralph Fiennes.
That's Ralph Fiennes?
Yeah.
I also think he calls himself Ray Fiennes.
I think there are a lot of Fiennes, and it may be a different Fiennes than Ralph. There are many Fiennes.
Nah, there's no way that can be Ralph Fiennes.
There are many fine Fiennes, and one of them is Ralph, and one of them is Ray, but Ray might be Ralph. Is this helpful to listeners?
His sibling is Joseph Fiennes.
Joseph. It's Joseph
and
Fiennes.
Jacob Fiennes. He did look like a Fiennes.
This one's
what
Joseph.
A handsome man. Hachimachi.
He's very handsome. Okay. And he plays Shakespeare.
Yeah, I'll say.
And you know who does the girl? It's Gwyneth from Goop.
It's Goop.
Gwyneth
Goop
from
herself.
Goop. And I think she does a good job.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a perfect movie.
She did a good job. She
she made
she was
me
such
feel
a
like she was
in, the
in love with him.
90s. Yeah.
And in love
and
with
for
poetry.
Good reason. Oh man. Ooh. Yeah, she did not play a man very well.
No,
not
she puts a mustache on to be a boy in the play, and like they often end up like doing kissing with her mustache, and I can't stop thinking about it.
Yeah. I think he just sort of likes it, you know? You get a taste for something like that. Can't go back.
Yeah.
Do you want to describe the movie?
Yes, very much.
Okay.
Do you want me to do it?
Well, yeah, I guess, if you want to.
Okay. I'm going to try to do it as fast as I can. Here's what happens. Okay. It's Shakespeare himself. And guys, you got to watch this. It's so fun.
Yeah, just watch
it's Shakespeare
it.
Himself. He's procrastinating a play. They need to put on a play because they're like getting squeezed by some like heavies in the town. And Shakespeare is like, they're like, Shakespeare, put on your play.
His buddy, who is Davy Jones from Pirates of the Caribbean.
Okay, yeah.
You ever, do you believe in ghost stories, son?
Yeah. Very
you're
famous
in one.
Actor. Yeah. Yeah. And he's like, Shakespeare, hurry up and finish your play. And the play is called Romeo and Ethel, the Pirate's Daughter, which is funny. That's very Stepardian.
Where will you find?
£16, 5 shillings and 9 pence.
Including interest in 3 weeks.
I have a wonderful new play.
Put them back in.
Oh, it's a comedy.
Cut off his nose.
It's a new comedy by William Shakespeare.
And his ears.
And a share. We will be partners, Mr. Fenniman.
Partners.
It's a crowd tickler. Mistaken identities, shipwreck, pirate king, a bit with a dog, and love triumphant.
I think I've seen it. I didn't like it.
But this time it is by Shakespeare.
What's it called?
Romeo and Ethel, the Pirate's Daughter.
Good title.
Yeah.
And it's a comedy.
Yes.
And so he starts to try to finish this play, and then he meets... How does he meet her?
He goes to Greenwich to do something, and... because he has a play on.
Yeah.
He's doing... they're doing something.
Great. Good.
he does a play for the... They're doing a play for the Queen.
Yeah.
And he goes there, and Gwyneth Paltrow is there, too.
And she's a noble woman.
And she's a noble woman, yes.
And they kind of fall for each other.
Yes.
And then so
I have a
she
question.
Okay, perfect.
Related to that scene, and it's I know you're not a British citizen anymore. They've exiled you.
I'm a dual citizen.
It's not what I hear.
Okay.
But I'm hoping you know this. Okay. There's a scene where William Shakespeare gets horny with a woman backstage.
Yeah.
In the presence of the Queen.
Okay.
Is that allowed?
No, I can't imagine she saw it. It's not allowed. It's fundamentally not allowed.
I don't even
it's
think frowned you're allowed upon. To do it.
It's frowned upon. It's frowned upon. And as you'll remember from this very film, when at the end a woman acts in a play, which is verboten in
the 17th not century, allowed.
Right. And they're like, man, if only the queen could see this. And the queen is like, I actually am here. And it is also true that the queen would never be present at a display of lewdness, such as one where a woman is allowed to act in a play. So it didn't happen.
The Queen of England does not attend exhibitions of public lewdness. So something is out of joint.
Right. Yeah. And this gentleman's makeup is just that convincing.
Yeah, it's very convincing. I want to say that I've done a bad job of describing the movie, and I want to say that it's 70% your fault.
Why?
Because you stopped me talking when I was just getting movie. Going. Yeah. They get together somehow, and I've kind of forgot. I was like, hey, help me out here. And you're like, I don't know.
She loved the play.
Yeah.
So she came to audition for his new play, dressed as the young Master Kent.
Yes, and so she's a boy, and everyone thinks that she's a boy because at the time, as I think everyone knows, it was common for men to act as women's parts.
Yeah,
and he has
this young boy who he does his women, but he's right on the verge.
But then their love story progresses, and she's got this issue where she is getting basically auctioned off by her dad to this guy played by Colin Firth, who's very funny.
Yeah, he's really good.
Who wants to marry her for her dowry, and he's an asshole.
I have spoken to the Queen. Her Majesty's consent is requisite when a Wessex takes a wife, and once given her consent is her command.
Do you intend to marry, my lord?
Your father should keep you better informed. He has bought me for you. He returns from his estates to see us married 2 weeks from Saturday. You are allowed to show your pleasure.
And the film is about Shakespeare coming to write Romeo and Juliet out of what he thought was going to be Romeo and Ethel the Pirate's Daughter.
Yeah.
As he falls more and more in love with Goop from Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop.
Yes. Goop's Gwyneth Paltrow.
And there's lots of fun references to Shakespeare and other Shakespearean things and things of the time. And there's a very funny cameo.
Ooh, and Faust.
And Faust and Christopher Marlowe is in it. And Shakespeare, when he's like caught canoodling with Goop from Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop by Colin Firth from Fever Pitch, the real one, and the American one is fake and don't watch it.
Jimmy Fallon's Fever Pitch?
Yeah, it's a fake. That's fake news. There's a Colin Firth Fever Pitch and it's better. And
what a lateral move. That man, whoever was like, we need the exact cultural equivalent of Colin Firth from America. And someone's like,
Jimmy Fallon. Yeah.
It's like, nailed it. Got it.
Boy.
Let's go.
Oh, can we do a Fever Pitch on the show? The real one?
Yeah.
It's one of the best movies.
Should we read the book? Isn't it a good book?
Yeah, we could read the book. But listen, I have to say, I have to finish the sentence. Colin Firth kind of figures out that they're canoodling and he's like, hey, who are you? And Shakespeare's like, oh, my name's Christopher Marlowe.
How do I offend, my lord?
By coveting my property. I cannot shed blood in her house, but I will cut your throat anon. Do you have a name?
Christopher Marlowe, at your service.
Yeah.
And then Christopher Marlowe is stabbed, and Shakespeare lives with all this guilt that his friend.
Wow, now you're blasting through the movie.
Yeah, well, I want to get to a hit segment.
Okay. And then Shakespeare writes Romeo and Juliet. It's a huge hit, and then
it's a fucking smash.
She runs away from Colin Firth and acts in the play, and then they decide to be in love together. Or actually, they can't because she's married. So he writes Twelfth Night.
It's a really complex movie. We wouldn't be able to explain all of it. It's very Stepardian in this way. It's like there's a lot going on. And there's a lot funny references and shit. And references to Twelfth Night and references to Romeo and Juliet and other playwrights of the time. And the one that I want to focus on right now is A Star Turn, which is John Webster is in this film.
Yeah, John Webster is a young boy in this movie.
Yeah, and he's like, so if you've ever read a Webster play, have
no.
you?
They're I like, don't think so. What are they?
They're like fucked.
What are the big ones?
The Duchess of Malfi and the White Devil. But I've got a segment for this. So you don't even need to look it up because I'm going to help you with this segment. In fact, it would be detrimental if you looked it up.
Okay. Closed window.
So he's like, they play him as like a young boy and he's like obsessed with like rats and like gore and sex and filth.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
He's really funny and he says a bunch of funny lines.
You were an eager boy. Did you like the play?
I liked it when she stabbed herself, Your Majesty.
Whenever something's like dirty, he says, he's like, I like this. And then they're like, what's your name? And he's like, I'm John Webster. And it's funny. And I would like to do a hit segment to illustrate that with you right now.
Okay.
Which is called, is this a Webster play?
Revenge for the Duchess of Malfi murdered.
Or a modern revenge action movie.
I will find you. And I will kill you.
I think I'm going to be good at this. I've never read a Webster play, but I've seen a lot of modern action revenge films.
Yeah. So I've got a few.
The Gray.
I've written down five total descriptions here of either one or the other of these things.
Okay.
And from the description, can you guess?
Okay.
Okay. Here's the first. Ready?
Yep.
A high society woman has an affair with her badass assistant, leading her jealous brother and his goons to hunt her down. Absolute fucking carnage ensues with every single character except the badass assistant getting brutally slaughtered in an epic, gore-filled bloodbath. Is this a Webster play or a modern revenge-themed action film?
Gosh. Sounds like the latter.
It's The Duchess of Malfi.
Wow.
John Webster. It's a fucking...
So surprised.
Wall-to-wall...
The way you described it.
Splatterfest.
Why was it allowed? Isn't there, like, decency laws in...
It's so fucked.
The 17th century?
All right. We got to power through these. You ready for your next one?
Yep.
A retired businessman has a chance meeting with a ne'er-do-well who robs him of his carriage and his faithful companion. Absolute fucking carnage ensues with every single character except the businessman getting brutally slaughtered in an epic, gore-filled bloodbath.
The carriage stuff feels like it's throwing me off. And also, it sounds a lot like the plot of John Wick.
Yeah, that's John Wick. That's the modern revenge drama John Wick. Starring Keanu Reeves. Okay, here's another one. You ready?
Yeah.
An adulterous couple enact a successful plan to kill each other's spouses. Unfortunately for them, the ex of one of the murdered spouses is a hitman who learns about the murder. Absolute fucking carnage ensues with every single character except the hitman getting brutally slaughtered in an epic, gore-filled bloodbath.
Could go either way. I hope it's a play.
Yeah. That's John Webster's The White Devil. Okay, we've got two more. A former government official learns that his daughter has been kidnapped. Absolute fucking carnage ensues with every single character except the ex-government official and his daughter getting brutally slaughtered in an epic gore-filled bloodbath.
Sounds like Liam.
Yeah, that's taken.
Qui-Gon Jinn movie.
Okay, one more, and this is a hard one.
Okay.
You ready?
Yep.
A marshal comes home to find his son has been murdered. He responds by tricking the murderers into participating in a theatrical production where all the prop weapons are replaced with real ones. Absolute fucking carnage ensues with every single character except the marshal getting brutally slaughtered in an epic, gore-filled bloodbath.
I mean, you gave it away. It's got to be that film, U.S. Marshals.
U.S. Marshals.
Tommy Lee Jones.
That's actually neither. It's The Spanish Tragedy by Thomas Kidd. Contemporary of the time. But the thing I didn't say in this description is that the character who survives does cut his own tongue out so that he won't be able to give away what happened when he's tortured after the bloodbath.
What fun.
Yeah, fun time.
I didn't realize they were so like horny for like violence back then.
Elizabethan revenge dramas are super fucking fun, I guess, is the point. And it just like it's a fun thing about this movie that they're like, hey, that's a thing, and we're gonna have this whole character that's just gonna embody that.
he's funny. He talks about bubbies a lot.
Master the Revel, sir. She's over here.
Where am I?
There. I saw her bubbies.
Yeah.
He's pretty mouthy with the queen.
He catches Shakespeare and Goop from Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop doing lovemaking and immediately rats them out.
Yeah. Do you call her Goop from Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop because she refers to herself as Goop?
Do you mean
she signs off her email? I don't think she does. I think she specifically signs off her emails Gwyneth.
As Gwyneth? Do you know the famous thing that I did from Goop?
What?
Do you know it?
Something about vagina candles.
Do you know it and that I'm often recognized for it? Have we talked about it?
No.
Yeah, I think we must have on the show. I'm recognized. In my life, I'm not often recognized. I want to put that out there first. I'm not often recognized. People do... Often do not know who I am.
Unremarkable person. Unremarkable look.
Yeah. No. Often people will just walk by me. Most
easy
of the time.
Easy to overlook. Yeah.
Very, very occasionally in my life, I have been recognized. And it has always been for one of two reasons.
Yeah.
Reason number one, sometimes they're like, hey, are you the guy from the podcast? And that's so super nice.
Yeah. That's happened to me a couple of times. That's nice.
And the other time that people recognize me, which has happened two or three times, is they'll be like, hey, are you the guy who got his butthole steamed?
Yeah, you did do that too, huh?
For Goop?
Do you have to go? Oh, that was a Goop suggestion?
Yeah, so Gwyneth did a Goop where she was like, I get my vagina steamed, which is what it sounds like. It's just like they shoot like hot steam up there. And she was like, and it's fucking great at this specific place.
Okay.
And so I went and did a video where they're like, they have one for boys where they're like, It's not quite as good, but like we can't shoot steam in your butt if you want. Just like
what about at your penis?
I don't think that was on offer.
Steam clean it?
That wasn't offered. It's like it has to like go into your body for the effect to work, you know?
Oh, okay. I thought we were just like I thought it was a purely external thing.
No, it's specifically internal. Anyway, I famously went and had that done just, you know, cuz Gwyneth did and did a video.
Maybe my biggest worry, which is like, what if I really, really, really love this and I have to come back like every week to get my ass steamed or my life won't be right.
I have a few follow-up questions. Did you notice a difference afterwards?
No, it was stupid.
Okay, that actually removes all of my follow-up. Negates all of my follow-up questions.
I mean, like, it wasn't unpleasant. It's like a nice place.
But it didn't, like, make you feel, like, lighter?
No.
Okay.
Yeah. Stupid. Anyway, there's a video. You can watch it online. Let's keep saying what the movie is. Now that we've done my segment, I can, like, breathe a sigh of relief now that it's out, and we can just say whatever we want about the film.
Yeah, it's a good movie. It's pretty snappy. It moves pretty quickly. There's a lot of like little montages set to like delightful music. In one of them, they just sort of blow past something pretty quickly at the 15-minute and 50-second mark. Gwyneth Paltrow is with her nurse, played by Dolores Umbridge, I think. From
That's Dolores.
Harry Potter.
Yeah,
Harry Potter. Dolores Umbridge hands her like a stick and it's like,
clean your teeth while you dream then,
and she just starts like rubbing the stick on her teeth.
Yeah,
I think it's supposed to be sort of like I guess they don't really get into it, but if you have to read into it, you know, it's like, oh, it's sort of like that scene with the clams in Demolition Man, and I think
it's
supposed
to
and like implies that this is like a not it's like an alternative past,
alternative history where it's like steampunk.
It's like steampunk,
like they brush their
like
teeth with sticks
wood
in
punk
the steampunk
or something
past
like that.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, that's cool. I
so
like
I just picked up on that. I saw that, and I was like, you know. So are there other parallels is what I thought at the time.
This is a cool woodpunk film.
Cool woodpunk, yeah. Wow, what a film.
Yeah, no, it's got everything.
Here's the thing is I actually really loved this film. I thought it was a masterpiece. I texted my wife. I was like, this is like, I feel like had I seen this earlier in my life, it would have been like one of my favorite movies.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite movies. No
but
question.
Now I'm just too like
calcitrant. You're not ready to change your life so that you can start brushing your teeth with a stick. You're like, oh, I've got my fucking quip.
And it feels cheap to put something like, oh, it's wood punk on it, you know?
Yeah. Do you want me to take that back?
I thought it was fun. I thought we had fun with it, but it's just like, I don't want to do that to this movie.
It's more than just wood punk.
Yeah.
No, that's a good point.
I don't want to be this precious about it all night, but I'm worried.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess I'm just a little bit worried.
Yeah. If people are listening to this and they're like, you know what? I don't need to watch a wood punk film. That's not the impression.
Yeah, it's not a
wood
punk.
We're
just making a joke. It was a silly joke. I'm sorry. Don't watch the movie, okay?
Please. Please, you have to watch it.
Like, it's so good.
It's so fun. And you know what? One of the things that's fun about it, like, I was thinking about this at the end of the movie. Like, there's a scene where, so, like, throughout the whole film, Ben Affleck is in this, and he's fucking hilarious.
Oh, he's so good.
Ben Affleck is so good in this movie. He's fucking awesome. He's an actor. He plays an actor who plays Mercutio.
Yeah,
and
he's like self-obsessed
and just like absolutely crushes it. I think it's honestly like the best role I've ever seen Ben Affleck in.
Yeah, of
he's
course.
So funny.
Yeah.
And he's also like being kind of self-effacing. He's not like being like, I'm the biggest star in this movie by a long shot. He just like allows himself, which is also like what his character is. It's like he's the best actor and Romeo gives him like Mercutio instead of Romeo. But like at one point, Joseph finds, as Shakespeare is like trying to convince Ben Affleck to be in the play.
We are in desperate want of a Mercutio net, a young nobleman of Verona.
Mm-hmm. And Ben Affleck is like,
and the title of this piece?
And he's like,
Mercutio.
But, and someone in the crowd's like,
is it?
And you can see Shakespeare like behind Ben Affleck's like field of vision just being like, no.
No. A lot of this film is literally just them. Like, it struck me how effective this was. Where it's like throughout the whole movie, like the Shakespeare character is stringing all the actors along, thinking that it's going to be a comedy called Ethel something based on his initial idea, which is Romeo and Ethel, the Pirate's Daughter, like an adventure.
Yeah, but only because he hadn't written anything yet.
Yeah, and so there's a lot of like fun, like humor to be mined from them, like getting the new pages for the next scene and being like, oh, this doesn't seem like a comedy. And then there's a scene where like he's finally figured out the end of the movie, and it's after all this like fucked up shit has happened between him and Goop from Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop.
Yeah, and
and Colin Firth from The Real Fever Pitch.
The Real Fever Pitch, right.
Yeah. The only Mr. Darcy, how about that?
Yeah, okay.
And so, like, there's a lot of emotion resonant in it. And he's literally just describing the end of Romeo and Juliet to the cast.
Yeah.
And it's like, we've all read it. We all know what happens. But I was like, I was also in tears. And it's just like, if you take a step back, it's like, it's a guy describing the end of Romeo and Juliet. Just like, yeah, and then this happens and this happens. And it's just so powerfully done that like you see it through the eyes of people who are going to be playing these parts and being like, wait, after she drinks the poison, like he figures out that she's not dead, right?
Romeo is banished. But the friar who married Romeo and Juliet.
Is that me, Will?
You, Edward. The friar who married them gives Juliet a potion to drink. It is a secret potion. It makes her seeming dead. She is placed in the tomb of the Capulets. She will awake to life and love when Romeo comes to her side again. I have not said all. By malign fate, the message goes astray, which would tell Romeo of the friar's plan. He hears only that Juliet is dead. And thus he goes to the apothecary.
That's me.
And buys a deadly poison. He enters the tomb to say farewell to Juliet, who lies there cold as death. He drinks the poison. He dies by her side. And then she wakes and sees him dead.
Yeah, it reminds me of like an equally powerful moment in my life was when my mom came to visit and we were watching TV at the end of the night, you know, just shooting the shit, killing time. And she was like, oh, I have a video I have to show you. It's going to like make you fall in love with like music all over again. And I was like, great, let's watch it. Let's put it on. And she put on a YouTube video of Hugh Jackman and the cast of The Greatest Showman.
Okay.
The modern day Baz Luhrmann like musical about P.T. Barnum.
Okay.
And showed me like a table read behind the scenes video of like them singing one of the songs in the show. And everyone was like in tears and it was like very powerful for the cast. And my mom was just like, see, like, do you see it? And it was just like this, you know, it was like these.
Yeah.
I didn't see it. No. I didn't see it. No, I have. Sorry. I have seen the film.
I
love it.
But you didn't feel that feeling. Of actors being like getting emotional because that's what they
do. No, I mean, no, but like I don't know if that's just, that's me. That might be my failing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah.
But at least I have like something I can kind of refer back to. I was like, oh, this is the time my mom was so enchanted by that. That video from The Greatest Showman.
I swear to God, I fell in love with Ben Affleck all over again. Like, yeah, I'm not like a Ben Affleck fan. I mean, apart from Daredevil, he like, whatever, take it or leave it, you know?
He's really good, Jack, but he's not my hashtag swoon of the week.
Okay. And who's that? There's a lot of swooning in this film.
Christopher Marlowe. Ooh.
Oh, boy.
Good looking guy. Sharp as a tack.
Yeah.
Wrote Dr. Faustus, my
absolutely crushed
third
it.
Favorite version of Faust.
Yeah. That's awesome. Top three, yeah. I would say.
That guy's a handsome looking guy. And then he gets fucking gunned down. Snapped. And it's unclear to me whether or not, maybe you know, you're the fucking Shakespeare scholar over here.
Yeah, sure.
It's unclear to me whether
I took Shakespeare for actual English majors. So
Colin Firth from the actual Fever Pitch had Christopher Marlowe killed based on the fact that Shakespeare said he was Christopher Marlowe.
No, then they do clarify that in the film.
I know they say it, but is that true?
Yes, that's true.
Brutally murdered in a bar one time?
All of the Colin Firth from actual Fever Pitch stuff is completely fictionalized. The one thing that is true is that Christopher Marlowe was killed in a bar fight.
Okay. Wow. What a way to go.
Yeah. Badass.
Yeah. Stabbed by himself. It sounded
you know
like...
what? Actually, that's toxic masculinity. That's not badass. You know what's badass?
Living.
Walking away from a bar fight and not getting stabbed. Everybody,
yeah,
listeners.
Supporting
listeners. Supporting your
walking
family.
Walking away and being able to support your families for one day
like,
longer.
Oh, I'm sorry, I have to go home from the bar fight. I can't be in the bar fight. My wife is waiting for me.
Honestly, if that were allowed,
yeah,
that's how I would leave every bar fight. I don't want to be in a bar fight.
No, it's stupid.
No, and it hurts.
And Kit Marlowe, I don't know, it is cool, but like I think we would have all appreciated more if we'd seen, I call him Kit. If we had seen...
Oh, that's what Shakespeare calls him, too.
More of his play.
So the three of you were like fast friends. Look at you three. It's like titans.
Yeah.
The guy who wrote Romeo and Juliet, the guy who wrote Dr. Faustus, and...
The guy who wrote 67 Reasons Cats Are Better Than Dogs.
All on a first-name basis.
Yeah. Yes.
Nickname basis.
Yeah, nickname basis. Should we take a quick break and do our hit segment?
Yes, let's do that.
Okay. Hey everybody, it's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game, June's Journey. I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's Journey, a game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner, unfortunately, is still pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly, he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which to be clear, he's just written this part upside down, he is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go
there is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Do you feel like we've said this whole movie to the extent that we're capable of? It's dense.
I don't. Here's the thing, Jack.
Yeah.
I think this film is a masterpiece.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's my responsibility to tell the sex bugs and the bed pods what the film is about. They have to go watch the movie.
It's your fault. It's your fault for not watching this or not remembering it.
Yeah.
What we can do is we can go to the masses. Hoi polloi. Yeah. As it were, and see what they.
You know what I regret not doing, and maybe you can figure this out in post, and we can just record a little bit of an intro.
Yeah, perfect.
I regret not making this episode 2 hours and 45 minutes, where we come in and we're like, hey, we're going to talk about Shakespeare in Love. It's a masterpiece. It's written by Tom Stoppard. You can't listen to this episode without watching it.
Yeah.
And you have to listen to this episode. So we're going to leave 2 hours.
That
of blank space here, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, we can
do we'll be checking back in on you to make sure that you're still here and you're still watching the film.
That's good. Yes. Yeah, we should have done that. And maybe we still can.
And then we do the episode as normal, you know?
Yeah. Okay. Well, so if there's a 2 hour blank space before this episode starts, listeners,
that's because
I remembered to do that.
Okay. Great.
But we do have a hit segment. It's called, on the one hand,
it's where I take a little bit of a break, a little bit of a vacation.
Yeah.
Sort of warped away into like a futuristic hellscape.
Arbiter Tanner, nice to see you.
Hello, Jack.
How's it going? Are things better in Future City?
No, worse.
Okay.
It's hot.
Okay, it's hot. Yeah.
It's hot there. It's summertime. It's hot.
Okay, I'm sorry to hear that. Well, this must be a nice respite. I guess maybe that's why you're so
it's hot here too.
It's hot here too.
In central Connecticut.
Well, listen, we've called you here for a reason. What we like to do in this segment is that you arbitrate, as is your calling, between various reviewers of this film on Rotten Tomatoes.
What film did you and Tanner watch this week?
We watched Shakespeare in Love, Masterpiece.
Oh, by Tom Stoppard.
Well, screenplay by
Tom
Stoppard.
Oh, it's one of my favorites, Jack.
Okay, good. All right.
I watch it down at the film archive in the mega city.
Oh, so it sounds nice out there.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like there's a lot of murders in there. That's why I'm in there so much, because I'm an arbitrator.
Yeah.
Arbiter.
Yeah.
So I'm down there like arbiting crimes and stuff like that. And then I'll just catch films while I'm down there too. You know Crime Alley?
No, I'm not familiar. We don't have one of those here.
Oh, you haven't been to the... Sorry, I keep forgetting it's the other guy who goes to the future.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, it's right down by Crime Alley, so...
You're going to have to try to be a little bit objective, because we only have 1 5-star review, and then we've got a number of middling reviews, and we've got 4 1-to-1.5-star reviews.
Okay, wow. Huh.
Your job is to be impartial.
I guess some people just don't have any fucking taste.
You're like the New York Times, you know? You have to be like, well, both sides here have a point.
Yeah.
Yeah, on the one hand, we have Stephen C., a Rotten Tomatoes reviewer, who gave this film 5 stars on May 28th, 2022. And here's Stephen Colbert, obviously.
Yeah.
Here's what Stephen C. says. I think we've had him before.
Okay, maybe it's Stephen...
No, I think it's maybe the same guy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's allowed.
Here's what he says. Funny, LOL! And then there's... 7 exclamation points. And then he says, ages 17 and older, due to sexuality. And then there's 35 exclamation points.
It's not that sexy. There is
sexy. There's a lot of nudity and kissing of bubbies, and that's not my word.
There's no bubbies.
There's bubbies. Are you kidding me? There's lots.
There was.
Were you like on your phone or something?
No, I just.
What?
Cover my eyes.
Okay, Arbiter Tanner.
It's too naughty. Right.
So the second part of the segment is where we look at reviews that were kind of like not one thing and not the other thing, just kind of in the middle. And it's a, okay. It's a segment within a segment that we call On the Fence Hand.
On the Fence Hand, right.
On November 19th, 2009, someone called Movie B, B-Movie.
Yeah, it's like the way that, it's like the government way to design their name.
Gave this film 2.5 stars, and here's what she said. I don't know why. I'm certain that it's a lady.
That penned the B-Movie, I believe, famously Jerry Seinfeld.
Here's what Jerry Seinfeld says of this. Yeah, so, that makes sense, actually, that he would go, like, his, at the time, like, that was how you would, like, sign up with a handle. And he was like, oh, I'm just
And he was probably, like, in
sign
the
up for all
of,
the
like,
sites with B-Movie.
It was, like, in the incubator, you know?
Yeah.
So he was like, this is going to be a hit someday. I better get on the marketing.
Here's what Movie B says about this film. I'm glad I didn't watch this one in college. It's a 2.5-star review. Did I say that? I'm glad I didn't watch this one in college. Dot, dot, dot. Wait a second. I did. Directed by M. Night Shyamalan.
Wow. What a ride. So let's start to get a psych map on B-Movie here. We know he was in college in 98.
Yeah.
Or after, I guess, right? Because, like, I could have watched this movie in college. I didn't. I was too busy partying.
Yeah. So he watched this movie in college in 98. So he's actually my age.
Oh, okay. Yeah, of course. Yeah, you were, like, what, 19?
1998, I was in college. I was in my sophomore year.
Okay.
But I guess, like, the reason I included this one is it's kind of a weird thing to say.
What do you mean?
I'm glad I didn't watch this one in college. Wait a second, I did. And then that's something you want to share with the world? It's like, once you figured out that you did, why not delete the first sentence and just be like, I watched this in college.
I don't think it's any more or less interesting than someone telling you in sort of a public internet forum that they took either Shakespeare for non-English majors or Shakespeare for English majors while they were in college. Enough.
All right, let's move on to another. I've got three more on the fence hands. This is Devin T, who gave this film 2 stars.
Okay.
On July 24th, 2009. And here's what Devin T says.
Devin T.
Devin T is actually something that you would have if you went to Devon. You would have a nice Devin
T. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I prefer Devin.
It's like a vicarage tea party. Yeah. He says, reminds me of Scary Movie. Ha ha.
In what way? In what way, Devin T, does it remind you of Scary Movie?
How does this remind you of Scary Movie, Devin? And why did you say haha?
When Scary Movie probably came out around 1998, right?
And did you like Scary Movie? Because you only gave this 2 stars. Was it too scary for you? Is that what it was?
I think
you
2 stars is generous for a Scary Movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
So yes, I think he did like it.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to take that one under consideration. Pretty compelling, but we'll see.
On June 18th, 2009, Devin P. gave this film 3 stars. And I think that's when you have a P in Devin after you've drunk a lot of tea at the Vicarage tea party.
Yes.
And here's what he says. I am in love with this.
With this what? The movie?
Film, I think. Yeah.
What
and
did
the
he
reason
give it?
3 stars. Yeah, that's why I included this one. Because there's like a glaring disconnect there.
Let's explore it. I think we know he lives in Devon, right?
Yeah.
So maybe he's just being polite. He's just being polite. Like, I would hate to like say anything, imply anything about the films.
He's having a conversation at the Vicarage Tea Party where they're all like, oh, we loved Shakespeare in Love. It's such a wonderful film.
And he's like, I loved it too.
And they're like, let's all get out our phones and review it on Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah. And he's like, okay, yeah. And then like he gave it 3 stars and then someone's looking over his shoulder and he's like, I am in love with this.
I think he's worried that you know, Ghostbusters. He's like, well, I can't say Shakespeare in Love is 5 stars, even though I did love it.
Yeah, okay.
Because what about Ghostbusters?
What about Ghostbusters? It's not as good as Ghostbusters.
Right.
Okay, yeah.
So he has to give it, like, some demerits to get it down. But he still loved it.
He still loved it. Okay, I've got one more on the fence hand.
Okay.
This is Marie C. Kondo?
Oh, yeah. From, like, the Netflix show.
Yeah. Is that her name?
I think so.
Sparks Joy? Okay, perfect.
Yeah.
She gave this film 3 stars on April 24th, 2009, and penned the following review to explain her three-star rating.
Okay.
I guess it's Gwyneth Paltrow.
You don't have to guess.
You guessed right, Murray.
Because there's a whole part of the end of the movie where they show everyone's the credits.
They literally
the
show
film.
Her bubbies. In case there's any doubt.
Yeah. I mean, like, if you're back in 98, if you're the most famous website on the internet, Mr. Skin, you'd recognize those bubbies anywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, maybe she works for Mr. Skin.
She only recognizes the bubbies.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you got it right, Marie C. It wasn't a quiz, but congratulations. Yeah. This is a part of the segment that we call On the Other Hand.
These are the bad ones.
These guys did not like this one.
Okay.
Here's the first guy. His name is Chris P. Chris P.
I was going to say extra crispy recipe at KFC, maybe.
Okay. Well, see, that's the opposite. Chris P. Carrot is the name of a mascot that we had when I worked for a famous animal rights organization, and we would protest outside of KFC.
So
we really kind of have to pick like one or the other of those. And I'm
Chris Parnell from SNL.
Okay, that's perfect. Yeah. And here's what he said on
Lazy
on
Sunday. What?
August 13th.
Chronicles. What of Narn? That's him. That's Chris
perfect.
Parnell.
Crushed it. Here's what he says.
It's my meme of the week.
1-star review. It may have won a bunch of awards, but kill me now.
Oh, okay.
That's troubling.
Maybe he's trapped under a boulder.
Yeah, that must be it.
And he's got his phone. His like phone's just out of reach, and he was like looking at IMDb reviews or Rotten Tomato reviews when the boulder fell.
Yeah.
And all he could do is reach the keyboard and like write like,
please end this.
I'm in so much agony.
But I am delighted at how many awards Shakespeare in Love won. I got a couple more. James S. gave this film 0.5 star on July 27th, 2009 with his review, which reads, "What is wrong with you, America? Why do you go out of your way to reveal how barely human you are?"
What? What did we do?
I feel like personally attacked. Like, what?
It's a British film with British actors. That takes place in Britain and is filmed in Britain.
And it's nice. And it's like, even if you didn't like it, it's not one of those movies that's like, oh, this is like...
What a travesty.
This is an example of humanity at its most crass and commercial. It's like, I understand not liking it. Anyway.
I don't understand that at all. What do you mean you understand not liking it? No.
Maybe he's...
I disagree with all these
people. You know what
people.
It is? He's a replicant.
Oh, okay.
And he's trying to like turn the tables where he's like, you guys seem barely human. And he thinks if he just like, he's like, oh man, right? Am I right, guys? This movie made me think that you guys are all skin jobs.
Now I'm starting to wonder. Now I'm worried if I am. Because I loved it.
Yeah, I loved it too. Yeah. And we've failed the test.
Uh-oh.
Okay, I've got two more. Here's one from Dylan B.
Dylan Bob. And he's Dylan also doing Bob, it the government way.
Yeah. Dylan B. writing great albums. And he gave this 0.5 star.
Yeah, Dylan Bob did write a lot of great albums. You're right.
0.5 star on July 29th, 2010. He says the following thing. And I can't tell you how many reviews I found that were a variant of this, but this was one of the best.
Oh, perfect.
Ones.
It's going to be some religious nut.
He says the following thing. Winner of Best Picture. Over Saving Private fucking Ryan? If you like this movie, then you hate America.
Wow. Now, I just a moment ago was accused of being too indulgent of my American impulses.
Yeah.
By what's his face?
So if you enjoyed this, folks, be careful because it means you hate America.
Well, I enjoyed this very much. I don't have a strong stance on America, I guess, one way or the other.
Nice movie,
seems
though.
Fine. I own a part of it.
Yeah.
Did I tell you that?
You own a part of America? Yeah, you own a house now. Congratulations.
Yeah. You own a part of America, too.
Yeah.
I can't believe that's allowed.
I mean, like, I think the bank technically really owns most of it.
Yeah. Jamie's mom technically owns most of it.
I've got one more.
Okay.
Last one.
I'm ready to pass judgment already, but I want to hear this last one out. I want to give him a fair trial.
This is from Lucas. He gave
before he's condemned.
One half of a star in 2009, and he says the following thing. I've never seen this.
Okay.
Strike but I one. Gave it half a star because it beat out Saving Private Ryan for an Oscar.
It's like early like review bombing.
Yeah, people were pissed. I can't tell you how pissed people were that this movie beat out Saving
Private Ryan. That is why I didn't see Shakespeare in Love. They literally, I went on a, like, Saving Private Ryan was such a phenomenon in 1998. I don't think people remember it. When you're 14, like, yeah. I think we went on multiple field trips to go to the theater to watch Saving Private Ryan for school.
Yeah.
Like, that, everyone was just like, oh, well, this is it. Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg have figured out how to, like, make history interesting.
I think it must be contentious, though I may only think that because I sifted through thousands of Rotten Tomatoes reviews to find this. But I think some people think that this winning Best Picture in the year that Saving Private Ryan was released is a travesty. Also a play by Tom Stoppard.
For what it's yeah.
But,
travesties.
Travesties. Close. But I think it's a pretty good Best Picture.
Yeah, I think it's good. I
really
will say
funny,
this.
It's charming,
I saw it for the first
sweet.
Time today, and I've seen a lot of films, and it's one of the best pictures I've ever seen.
It's a great. Yeah. It rules. And like I saw Saving Private Ryan in theaters, and I liked
oh,
it.
Oh, loved it. Yeah.
I also saw this in theaters, and then I went on to watch it another 10 to 15 times, which is not true of Saving Private Ryan, which is like yeah. fine, but it's not something that I'm like, hey, hon, do you want to like, should we do a rewatch of SPR tonight?
Maybe we can really focus on that scene where the guy gets slowly stabbed in the heart with a big knife. Although that may yeah, have been
that
Band
does happen in this too, though, doesn't it?
Oh, it does happen in this too.
Yeah.
It's pretty dramatic.
Juliet stabs herself in the heart and then, yeah. I mean, yeah. that's from Romeo
although
and Juliet.
Although I think it's meant to be dramatic.
Spoilers for Romeo and Juliet in this.
In a way, we could consider this a telling of Romeo and Juliet, right?
In a way, yeah.
And does that bar us from, or like, at least temporarily bar us from exploring any other Romeo and Juliet?
No, we can watch Romeo plus Juliet.
Okay.
We're allowed. Yeah, and I was thinking about this, listening to the lines, and I think a thing that's good about Romeo plus Juliet. I mean, this. I'm not the first person to say this. This is not an original insight. But, like, they're teens.
Yeah.
They're teens. And, like, in this movie, they don't read as teens because they're
no, they read
fucking
as...
Joseph Fiennes and Goop from yeah, Gwyneth Paltrow's Goop. But, like, in Goop. Romeo plus Juliet, they kind of read as teens a little bit. A little bit. Because Claire Danes
yeah,
is my
they're
so-called
young.
Life.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
And it's also rad. It has John Leguizamo in it, and he played the Violator in Spawn. So
yeah, perfect. That'll be fun.
A lot of parallels
yeah,
between
a lot
those
of
two films.
We should do our burns. Oh, wait, Arbiter Tanner, you got a fucking...
Yes, I don't agree with anyone who gave it anything below a five-star yeah. rating.
All your kisses go...
All my kisses go to...
Stephen Colbert.
Oh, and welcome, Stephen Colbert, yeah. to the Kingdom of Kisses.
Yeah. That sounds nice.
Yeah.
Let's do our burns, and then we're going to go. I can report back. I just got a text from my wife. My son has settled down, Cyril.
Oh, good. Down. Where? Wichita?
No, in his bedroom.
Oh, sorry. I assumed you had kicked him out
yeah.
for being so bad earlier, and he had kind of, you know, found a new place.
No, we kept kind of trying to get him back into his bedroom was a lot of what's been going on.
Okay.
Everything's okay over there, but you, Tanner, Arbiter Tanner, have to go. I'd like to have regular Tanner back.
Okay.
Go.
I'm back.
Regular Tanner, you have a nice time out.
I did this time.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah, I found it like...
Did you go to Crime Alley?
I was in Crime Alley.
Yeah.
Because when I'm there, I'm like starving, you know?
Yeah.
So I went down there to look for some food. I found this lovely like little theater, like sort of our house theater.
Oh, nice.
Tom Stoppard films.
Lovely. That's so nice. Yeah. I'd like for us to do our burns from this book.
Okay.
Do you want me to start?
Yes, please.
Okay.
Or I don't actually. I'm impartial, but so sounds like you're raring to go.
I referred to the lead up to this burn earlier, which is the moment when William Shakespeare is describing the horrifying, ghoulish ending to Romeo and Juliet to the cast.
Yeah.
And they're all
like
fucking...
Just like that scene in the outtakes of
Greatest Showman, right?
Yes, it's just
you're gonna have to bring it back to something like a touchstone. I know.
Yeah, yeah, so that people can recognize it.
Yeah,
and then the actor, the very famous actor Jeffrey Rush, who plays Philip Henslow, who's the like the
and Davy Jones. You believe in ghost stories, boy? Because you're in one.
The money behind the play, as Joseph explains what happens to Juliet after she realizes Romeo has died.
And so Juliet takes his dagger and kills herself.
He goes,
well, that will have them rolling in the aisles.
Yeah. That was very funny. I do have another burn that I'd like to share with you, and then I'll let you do yours. This just really tickled me. So Joseph Fiennes and Gwyneth Paltrow from Goop with a mustache.
Yeah.
Before Joseph Fiennes realizes that she's a lady.
Yeah.
Is talking about how much he likes actual Gwyneth Paltrow and what a babe she is.
Oh, yeah, because it's just her.
Yeah, so he's confiding to this guy who he doesn't realize is her.
Yes.
And they're in a boat with a funny, like, Uber driver, boat driver.
Oh, yeah, he's great.
And Shakespeare says,
oh, Thomas, she's cut my strings. I'm unmanned, unmended, and unmade. Like a puppet in a box.
And then the boat driver goes,
writer, is he?
Yeah, and that's that Tom Stoppard touch. Mine happened at the 21-minute and 30-second mark. It's also Davy Jones from Pirates of the Caribbean. Do you believe in ghost stories, son?
I do. No, I don't. I don't. I don't. I don't.
Because you're in one.
You were so compelling doing... with the way you said that. I felt like I had to just say yes. You kind of beckoned me in there, but I don't.
They're doing auditions for Romeo and Juliet at the Rose Theater, which is where Davy Jones works. And everyone is coming in and doing Dr. Faustus.
Was this the face that launched 1,000 ships and burnt the topmost towers of...
And someone comes in at the 21-minute, 30-second mark and says, like with a big grand bow, says,
I would like to give you something from Faustus by Christopher Marlowe.
And Davy Jones turns to William Shakespeare and says,
how refreshing.
And it killed. It was great. Very funny movie. Very well written.
Very funny. Very sweet. Deserves the Best Picture over Saving Private Ryan. Sorry. I guess I am not as patriotic as I thought I was.
Okay, and now our fucking podcast is going to get fucking nuked off the face of the earth. What a stand to take. Ugh.
Yeah. Ugh.
I don't stand by what Jack just said.
Yeah. Okay.
I thought this movie was a masterpiece.
Yeah.
But, I don't want to get on anyone's bad sides.
We're going to go. I'd like to thank you, Tanner, so very much for bearing with me today. It's been a difficult evening here at the Shepherd household, though I hope that that hasn't come through too much in the podcast. It's been absolute fucking chaos in the background. Absolute nightmare.
Haven't heard a peep. Sounds like a bunch of little angels.
I'd like to thank the Baby Nation and the Sex Bugs and the Bed Pods for bearing with us. We do love you so very much, and we kiss you all the time.
Yes.
I would like to say to you, well, I'll say a couple things.
Okay, please.
First thing I'll say is subscribe to our Patreon. I know you have, Tanner. I know you have. But listeners, please. Okay. Patreon.com/BSCC podcast. We're having a good time in there. We're talking about the TGIF shows, Family Matters, Full House.
Perfect Strangers, just the 10 of us.
Yeah. Fucked
it's
around with some Frasier.
It's the worst one in the lineup.
Yeah, but we have fun with it. And you know what? It's a really good way to support our show. And to this show takes a lot of work and effort and time. And we like spending that time, but it is helpful to have some of the costs defrayed by you. So thank you to everyone who has supported us. And thank you to you who are about to. It's patreon.com/BSCC podcast. You can also support us by throwing us a couple bucks at bit.ly/rattlesnakejake.
Rattlesnake Jake. Still feel good about that Bitly link?
Yeah, it's good.
Just become more and more divorced from the original content.
That's fine. I have a newsletter. Friends, I have a newsletter. You don't have to subscribe to it. But if you like words and wordplay and puzzles, I'd like for you to. It's on words. onwords.substack.com. Check it out. Subscribe. Just
can
have a
we
nice time.
Plug things that aren't related to the show but are kind of personal projects of ours?
I guess so.
Oh, okay, great. I would like to plug on September
17th,
yeah,
2022, Experience Share Live at Caveat in New York.
Yeah.
Josh and I are going to do an Experience Share Live. We're playing through Pokemon, the trading card game 2 for Game Boy Color, which was a Japan exclusive, but we've hacked the net to figure out how to play it here in American shores.
Yeah, and folks can get $0 off that show if you subscribe to my newsletter at onwards.substack.com. Yeah.
Yeah.
Do both of those things.
Do both of those things. bit.ly/expsharelive.
Yeah. I won't tell you to do any more things other than, you know where the Facebook group is. It's called Baby Nation on Facebook. We're having a nice time in there. And that's not even something that's hard to do. It's nice to go in there, and it's a nice community, and they're so welcome.
It's going to make your day better.
Yeah,
everyone's trying to help you.
All that remains is for me to say that this is what I was going to say.
Yeah.
I always say I'm going to write a list of fun movies, and I always think I'm going to get around to it, and I didn't.
Let's just,
but I have one thought. I have one thought.
Let's just sort of groove for a second and try to find our way there. I mean, that immediately makes me think how Stella got her groove back.
Okay, well, let me get there. Here's what I'll say first. This week we watched a film. It was called Shakespeare in Love. It was by John Madden. We didn't talk about that. John Madden directed this one.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow, what can't he do? Well, fly, I think. Famously, he's bad.
Famously, he can't get on a plane.
Yeah.
Next week, we're going to be watching a little film called, and this is where we kind of spitball a little bit about it, and I'm going to be better in future about knowing in advance, but you've said how Stella got her groove back. I'm interested. I'll allow it. I want a counterpoint with Sliding Doors.
That's like also 98?
I don't know, but it's also Gwyneth.
How
Stella got her groove back. I've never seen it. It's famous.
I've never seen it either.
Next week, we're going to be watching either How Stella Got Her Groove Back, Sliding Doors, or something else that you don't know what it is, and we'll put it in the Facebook group.
I'm looking forward to watching one of those three films, Jack. Thank you for doing such hard work.
All that remains is for me to say that this week, I have been Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Tanner Greenring.
And I hope that you find your tragedy ever after.
We might be childhood friends, and I might drive you around the bend, but I'm sure it's crazy good to work it out in the end. I might kiss you on the lips despite your nose, but I guess that's how it goes. Let's keep falling in love with our strange bedfellows.
Well, we've known each other for 7 years, and I think it's time for us to get her buttholes steamed together and really become butthole brother.
She was saying earlier that it's like drinking tea, except like through your ass.
Be very...